usually you walk in and you came, this was a hallway. We were feeding, we had co-ops, all the local co-ops.
Mel Hall has stepped through an inch of mud to show off what was, until early Monday morning, the White River Junction headquarters of Mel's Gourmet World Cuisine. Now it's a wet, filthy, empty shell. For 3 days, Mel and his wife Damaris and their employees have been sorting through mud-covered debris, thousands of dollars of pots, pans, refrigeration units, and expensive ingredients. The Hall's company provides African-style meals to colleges and hospitals, and they were expanding to prepare for their busiest season in 2 decades.
We completely gutted and redid this entire space, and we watched the storm waters roll in Sunday night and rip it out.
But their low-slung cement building, which they share with other businesses, sits near the bank of the White River. And on Sunday night, that river rose like no one has seen it rise in about 85 years. It swamped the parking lot of the renovated firehouse next door, which houses the Main Street Museum and the library of White River Junction's quirkiest educational institution, the Center for Cartoon Studies. It wiped out a Zen Center and a textile company on the firehouse's ground floor. The ferocious river flooded the museum's storage space, covering hundreds of precious objects with a sticky, gluey layer of silt. And it poured more than 6 feet of water into the Hall's brand new kitchen and tossed enormous commercial refrigerators around like Lego blocks. People in this close-knit community know the Halls and call them resilient, but their future, like the future of many here, is uncertain.
You know, obviously at this point our source of income has been completely cut off, but we just got to start cooking again.
They need a new kitchen and a quick disaster loan, and they don't know when they'll get either. Next door to the Halls, Amy Fortier has spent the day trying to rescue 40 years' worth of costumes from the flooded storage rooms of the North Country Community Theater. Every passing day threatens mildew and mold. We step gingerly through 2 inches of filthy water, past an electric piano on its back, never to be played again. It's hard to make out the soaking costumes hanging in row after row.
Right in front of us is a pile of furs that have been donated at some point. It's vintage clothing. It's things that we've made. You can see hats. It's just covered in mud. We don't know how to come back from this. I don't know if you can.
Next door, a slight man in jeans and a button-down shirt picks through debris by the museum's front door. He grabs a purple videotape. It's a Barney movie. And a vintage beer can. Both, it turns out, are museum artifacts, along with an eclectic collection that's virtually indescribable.
We have a category at the Main Street Museum of artifacts from the 1927 flood, and now we have a category of artifacts which are artifacts from the 2011 flood.
You must be David.
I'm David Fairbanks Ford, director of the Main Street Museum.
Fairbanks Ford describes the museum he co-founded almost 2 decades ago is a cabinet of curiosities.
It's just a deer with a birthday hat on his head, and he's wearing the silver fox stole of Elizabeth Taylor, which is part of her fur collection that she was dispersing before she died. So we had a special Liz Taylor display a few years ago after her death.
Today, a handful of volunteers, many brand new students who'd arrived this week to attend the Center for Cartoon Studies, wash mud off of objects and clean up the ravaged parking lot. Fairbanks Ford was as alarmed as anyone when, as he says, a full-fledged river roared through the back of the building. He pitched in to help rescue the Schultz Library. Yes, it is named for the Peanuts cartoonist, next door to the museum. Volunteers frantically pulled out about 8,000 books, watching in fear as the floodwaters rose and other dangers appeared.
Because of all the propane tanks coming down the river, this whole neighborhood smelled of propane. It was just like reeked of propane, and it was very dangerous.
But the museum and the library are dry, and the 1893 firehouse in which they live still stands. 5 miles down Route 14, the scene in the village of West Hartford makes White River Junction pale in comparison. Route 14 curves along the White River. Houses and small businesses, the library, the general store, and auto repair shop sit across from the river. Clearly, it was pastoral once. But on Sunday night, in just a few hours, the river crossed the road, destroyed the Patriot Bridge, and tore the entire front off of one house. Now the road is hijacked by police cars, fire engines, excavators, and mammoth trucks carting fill. Guardrails are gone. The end of the bridge has twisted, and wires hang in a tangle. Useless.
Well, the whole lot was just full of cars tipped over, twisted around, tires and barrels and mud probably 2 feet deep in some places. Everything is mud. The inside of my shop is mud. You can see there. You know, we're sweeping out 6 inches of mud.
Bruce Conrad, wearing a blue workman's coverall, walks slowly across what used to be his lawn. For days, he's been trying to salvage the auto repair shop he's run here since 1973.
It's going to take a long time. We've lost everything. My machine is gone. My tools are gone. The side of the shop is blown out. You know, there's no side over there. Everything came through and just trashed the shop, you know.
Like many here, though, he compares himself to others.
You know, there's people worse than me, you know. People lost their homes. We didn't lose our home.
Lisa Johnson and Bert Merton did. They were trapped here. They saved their dogs, but watched their house and its contents float down the river. The couple walks tiredly up to a tent set up on the lawn of the public library.
Do you need food, water?
No, we have shelter with our parents on Heartland, but just trying to clean up our property now.
All right. So here's the
Hartford town manager Hunter Riesberg has been here for 3 days, directing construction crews and doing what he can to help people salvage their lives.
We have volunteers with pickup trucks. If you want to put trash into those, storm trash into those.
Merton and Riesberg continue talking about logistics, dump trucks, dust masks. But Lisa Merton stands mostly silent next to her partner, her green eyes welling up with tears. She asks one question. When will FEMA arrive?
We have been waiting for FEMA. I mean, the peak of this event was Sunday night into Monday morning. And we've had several indications that FEMA was en route, would be here in the morning.
But Riesberg and everyone else was still waiting. He's worried about people, especially older folks who didn't have much money to begin with.
FEMA will show up at some point, and there may be some relief, but there's going to be the gap. And the gap is going to be enormous for some of these people. You know, how do you do that? I don't know.
Across the way, an older couple mills around near the bridge. The area had been a memorial garden built by volunteers to honor 3 fallen soldiers.
All the relatives and family and friends came out and have tended that garden for the last couple of years.
One of the honored soldiers was this couple's son. Clearly, it is the first time they have seen the ruined garden. The mother looks up at Riesberg crying. All that is left is the memorial plaque. The river has taken everything else. For NHPR News, I'm Elaine Grant.